Today is Buddha's birthday, or at least today is the day that we're going to celebrate Buddha's birthday. I want to talk about the ceremony that we're going to do today. And the way we begin the ceremony is that we, as we do in service, we offer incense, and we're also going to be doing a formal offering, which is of three parts. There's sweet water, rice, and regular tea, green tea. And I think later, when we cut the cake, we need to also offer some cake to the baby Buddha, because after all, who doesn't like cake? So these offerings are about expressing our gratitude for Buddha. We want to acknowledge this as an auspicious occasion, and that the Buddha appeared in our world roughly about 2,500 years ago. So that's what the celebration is. So, you know, you can do this at a home altar as well. Like, many people make an offering every day. And so they would offer a little bit of, say, your lunch food or the food that you have for breakfast or something, you know, just a little piece of it. Or maybe every day you would offer water or rice. Sometimes people offer, like, the Tibetans have like five offerings that they do, and they have special little offering trays. And I think it's a good way to express our gratitude and to remember our practice, to every day have a little ritual where we just go to our home altar and we make an offering. When the offering, after the ceremony is over and after we've eaten for a while and after we've offered cake to the baby Buddha, after that we will take the offerings and go out and into more the nature part of the park and gassho and offer the offerings to other beings so that they can consume them. You can also eat them yourself. But the way that we were taught at San Francisco Zen Center was that you took the offerings out. At Tassar, we would always take them out to a bush or something like that and offer them to the spirits of the earth. So either way, I was just reading on the Soto Zen website, they were saying that you could eat the offerings yourself. So there's that. So during the ceremony, we chant a text which is called Seeing the Buddha Right Now. So that's what I want to talk about today, is I want to talk about the meaning of this text. So the text starts out, above the heavens and below the heavens, I alone am the world honored one. This statement is the lion's roar and the baby's crying. So if you're familiar with the story of the Buddha's birth, you know that the Buddha was born out of the right side of his mother, and that he, after he was born, he put his hand up in the air and he said, I alone too, took seven steps and said, I alone am the world honored one. Above the heavens and below the heavens, I alone in the world honor one. So, you know, this kind of sounds like he's declaring that he's, you know, a king, let's say, or that he's somehow unique in the world. But, you know, we are all unique in this world. And we are all endowed with the lion's roar, which I would say is this roar, if you will, of wisdom and compassion being manifest. So, but what's interesting here to me, besides that, is that it says in this text, the statement was a lion's roar and a baby's crying. So this baby this baby's crying is part of this lion's roar. So I would say that we have here a statement of wisdom, the lion's roar, and humility, or being a person, you know, vulnerability of the baby's cry. So we have this combination of wisdom and humility simultaneously. So I would say, you know, this is technically, or in the traditional ways, this is Shakyamuni Buddha as a bodhisattva having his last rebirth when he becomes Shakyamuni and becomes what we now say is the Buddha. But in this rebirth, there's also this very humble cry of the infant, of the newborn. So it's not just that he is fully formed, coming down, if you will, from to see to heaven in order to be able to dispense, if you will, his wisdom to all of us beings in the Saha world. But he is also part of that world. He is also this world. He is newborn into this world, which would indicate that he is engaged in a learning process. He is engaged in a process of maturation. He is engaged in that same process that all of us engage in as we go through our life. And then this I, when he says I alone, is the universal I of the all beings manifesting simultaneously. So this birth, this statement of this I, is our declaration of a moment-to-moment manifestation of Buddha nature. And so this is this manifestation, the simultaneity of the individual, the unique individual, simultaneously expressing, synchronizing, if you will, bringing forth the totality of the whole universe's functioning within the context of that particular situation. So this I is not just about Shakyamuni Buddha. This I is about all beings simultaneously coming forward and meeting and actualizing together with Shakyamuni Buddha at that moment. Then the next part, so I think that's really important because this is also the I of our I, the I of who we are when we say I. So we get caught in this I as being something that takes precedence over our desire of this I, this small I, this selfish I, takes precedence over the larger I of our Buddha nature, the larger uniqueness of each one of us as we accord ourselves with and function in the context of this larger essence, this larger essential way of being in this world with each other. The next part of it is of the text, now going back to the text. How do you express such a manifestation in the entire universe and pervading the heavens? Good fortune arrives. The grandmotherly intimate heart is expressed by the sage's descent to birth. How do you express such a manifestation? So I would say that we express our gratitude, if you will, for the Buddha's appearance in this world by practicing, by engaging in this Buddhist path, by practicing with the Dharma wisdom every moment of our life. So when we endeavor to realize this vow of awakening, beings are numberless, and we say save, but I think a better word is benefit. Beings are numberless, I vow to benefit them. I vow to enter each Dharma gate. That this vow to follow the Buddha's way. So we express this through all the aspects of our practice, in our formal practice, sitting zazen, doing ritual, making offerings, and then our personal effort in formal Zen practice and our personal effort in the rest of our lives. So this is the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha manifesting. So how do you express such a manifestation? And then in the entire universe and pervading the heavens, good fortune arrives. Every time that we engage in skillful response, every time that we do something that is helpful, that is an expression of the Buddha Dharma manifesting, this is good fortune arrives. And then grandmotherly kindness, he says, the grandmotherly intimate heart is expressed by the sage's descent to birth. this grandmotherly heart. So what is a grandmotherly heart? So grandmotherly intimate heart is a kind of wisdom or heart-mind, because usually in Japanese, shin, heart, is heart-mind. It's not just heart. So this grandmotherly intimate heart is an expression of tough love, actually. The grandmotherly expression is a kind of tough love. So it's a grandmotherly intimacy. It's practice realization. It's this Buddhist teaching. The teachings require us to take an honest look at our lives, our suffering and the suffering of others, and apply a wise and compassionate heart mind to what we see, a clear eye, and to find a remedy and a path of response. So that's what we're engaged in. And sometimes we have to be strict with ourselves in this process of doing this. We have to engage in grandmotherly kindness. And we can't always do what feels easy in practice or even in our daily lives. We have to put some effort into it. So the cultivation of wisdom requires of us that we make a steady and diligent effort in our practice. This doesn't mean that, as the poet says, it doesn't mean you have to, you know, crawl across the desert on your hands and knees. But it does mean that we have to engage with this kind of grandmotherly love towards ourselves and others. But mainly, I would say, towards ourselves, because mostly our business is not about telling other people what they should do. It's about practicing ourselves. And then what comes out of that will be an example to others. And if they care to ask you about it, then that's a wonderful thing. And if they don't, that's fine too. But that mostly what we're paying attention to our practice is what we're doing. We're making this steady and diligent effort. So this is grandmotherly love towards ourselves and others. It is outspoken, clear, and without sentiment. The next part is, who knows that with each step he gave birth to many Buddhas? So that's a question. Who knows that with each step he gave birth to many Buddhas? These Buddhas are simply transmitting today's voice with the same life, the same place, and the same name in the past, future, and present. Homage to Shakyamuni Buddha. So, who knows, I would say, is to recall our faith in Buddha's way. It's to take refuge in this warm hand practice, the way that we transmit the Dharma from one person to the next. So it says that when the Buddha took, the baby Buddha took seven steps, at each step a lotus blossom came forward with each step. This is the flowering of the Dharma, and it's the birth of the realization of Buddha's way. So the path of the baby Buddha, these seven steps that the baby Buddha took, where the lotus is coming forward and he says, "I alone am the world honored one," it's not abstract. Each one of us, in our teaching, we teach we are all Buddha. We are all have the nature of Buddha, because this is the nature of life itself. So that path is being walked. Those seven steps are 7 million steps, or whatever it is, each one of us is walking that every day. So each step of this path is to ground ourselves in our life as it is right now. And when we can do that using the Buddha's teachings, then Buddha nature is manifest. Buddha nature is always present never not present. And even in your mistakes, Buddha nature is present. And yet there is still the notion that we must engage with Buddha nature in order to express Buddha nature. So we do this through the walking this path of awakening, delusion, and realization that we return over and over again to Shakyamuni's way. So deliberately I said here, it is through walking the path of awakening, delusion, and realization. So we cannot get rid of delusion. That's part and parcel of all of this as well. And that we keep walking the Buddhist path, Shakyamuni's path. And so, for this reason, we offer homage, we honor, we recognize, we express gratitude. We celebrate Shakyamuni's birth today to remind ourselves. The next line of the text that we're going to read today is, we pour fragrant water over the head of the baby Buddha to bathe our elder brother. We pour fragrant water over the head of the baby Buddha to bathe our elder brother. This is the principle of bathing the newborn one. So that's interesting that we're pouring water over the baby Buddha who is our elder brother. So first of all, later in the ceremony, so after we do the ceremony and we chant this and there's an echo, etc., then we go and we actually take a little dipper of water and put it in. It's inside a container with flowers in it with a statue of the baby Buddha, and we pour water over the head of the baby Buddha. Sue has, a few years back, made this really beautiful little canopy that we cover with flowers, and so the Buddha is ensconced in this water on a little stand. We have a nice golden Buddha. Jaku always teases me about it because our baby Buddha is kind of garish, which I like. So later, when the ceremony is over, the last part of the ceremony is that we pour water over the head of the baby Buddha statue. So what this is it's a reenactment of the dragons who bathe the baby Buddha with hot and warm, with cold and warm water at Lumbini in India, where the baby Buddha was born. So these dragons pay homage to us, to this auspicious birth. Dragons are very wise beings. Dragons live for a very long time. So we are these dragons that are pouring the water over the head of the baby Buddha. We look to the Buddha as our elder brother, yet he's still an infant. So in the Buddha Dharma, all of this is possible because we are the dragons, we are the baby Buddha, because we are the elder brother and the younger sister. And then throughout time and space, each moment reflects and influences all the other moments, as starlight does as it travels millions and millions of years before it comes to us. And then this pond radiates these waves, just like a pond that goes out with the waves of the water pouring over the Buddha and going back into the vessel that holds the water. So life is like a mandala, a holographic mandala. And this mandala, this hologram, points towards blossoming of these lotuses coming forward. Each point touching is this lotus blooming. So this is, to return to the text, this is how Dogen Zenji, the founder of our school, Japan, what he had to say. He said, the teacher Dogen said, great assembly, do you want to see the birth of the world honored one? I don't have a whisk with me, but Dogen held up a whisk and he drew a circle in the air with his whisk. and said, the world honor one has been born. In the entire world, in 10 directions, in mountains, rivers, and lands, all of the human beings and all sentient or insentient beings and all Buddhas in the three times in the 10 directions, all have been born simultaneously with Gautama, the world honored one. Not one thing is born before or after that. So again, he drew this circle. Dogen drew this circle. So this would have been probably from a text like the Ehekoroku, which is a text of Dogen's sayings, things that he said in assembly. So Dogen would have been sitting there in front of his monks who would be standing up, and he would have been delivering this about this auspicious occasion, this thing. And he would have drawn the circle with his whisk. And in that circle, he said that the world honored one has been born at that moment of him drawing the circle. In the entire world, in the 10 directions, in mountains, rivers, and lands, all human beings and all sentient or insentient beings and all Buddhas in the three times in the 10 directions, all have been born simultaneously with Shakyamuni Buddha. And then he says, not one thing was born before or after that. So now we go into that realm of what is timeless, without beginning or end. This circle that he drew is realization and response. If you see this, if you understand this about the circle, you see Buddha. With this circle, you see all beings, all the mountains, rivers, etc. They are born in this moment because you actually see them as they are in this moment. And yet, they were never not there fully as they are in this moment. So practice realization is birth without end. Practice, realization, birth, death, nirvana are non-sequential. This is not a linear path. This is not linear logic. Yet it is not without logic. Buddha nature is always presencing. It is not one thing is born before or after that. So when you experience awakening each moment and the Dharma arises to meet and affirm that awakening, you might see that or you might not see that. And yet, it's happening. It is true. So all things are intimately functioning together. That's kind of our core mandala, core koan, I would say. Each moment is, how is this? How is this? How is this manifesting? How do I respond? What is the appropriate response for each moment? And the thing about it is, of course, is that sometimes we know and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're spontaneous and sometimes we have to think about it. Sometimes we never get close to it. But that's a lovely koan. What is this moment? What is this? Where is the gratitude? Where is our deep love for the simultaneity of all things rising together, for this altruistic world that sustains us? Then the next part of the text is, drops of water do not fall in different places. Drops of water do not fall in different places. What is this principle of not falling in different places? If we do not transmit the Dharma and save living beings, our practice cannot be considered to repay the kindness of the Buddha. In the Lotus Sutra, Mahakashyapa, so remember the Buddha held up the flower, Mahakashyapa smiled, and he became the first transmitted lineage holder from Shakyamuni Buddha, that moment of transmission between the two of them. In the Lotus Sutra, the Buddha said to Mahakashyapa, he said, by pouring of the one rain, all become fresh and glossy. Just as their bodies, forms, and natures are divided into great and small, so the enriching rain, though one and the same, yet makes each flourish. In the same manner, the Buddha also appeared in the world. Just as their bodies and forms by nature are divided into great and small, so the enriching one rain through one and the same, yet though one and the same, makes each flourish in the same manner the Buddha also appears in the world. So this one drop of water does not fall in different places. This one drop of water nourishes everything. So we can think of this drop of water or rain in this quote as being both external and internal. It is the other and the self simultaneously. We are rain, and others are these drops of water as well. And as we see this, we become part of this process of transmitting this wisdom of Buddha's way. We are motivated by our gratitude for Buddha's teachings. For all Buddhas, then, now, past, future. And thus we repay the kindness of the Buddha through our practice. You know, it's like as children, as parents, when our children have wholesome lives, in a way it's a repayment of this, for the gratitude and for the love. Now, I say that, but I want to be very careful about saying that, because we also have our unique karma that has nothing to do, in a way, with our parents. And so despite our parents lavishing of love and gratitude and help, things happen. So I want to be careful about making this, because I don't want anybody to feel as if they didn't do enough, because we make our best effort, and that's all we can do. And that is repaying the kindness of the Buddha. Finally, what is this principle of transmitting Dharma and repaying kindness? We will descend from the seat and together with the great assembly go to the Buddha hall and respectfully bathe the pure Dharma body of the Tathagata. So Dogen's talking here about before he and his assembly go and do this ceremony. So this is his admonition to us. What is the principle of transmitting Dharma and repaying kindness? We will descend from the seat and together with the great assembly go to the Buddha hall and respectfully bathe the pure Dharma body of the Tathagata. That's the principle of transmitting the Dharma. Buddha, Dharma, Sangha together, going together and making this homage, if you will, gratitude, if you will, joyous occasion, auspicious occasion. So each time we engage in ritual, it reminds us of our true nature. We are strengthening our vow of practice, repaying kindness, and transmitting the Dharma through our actions. We are continuing to transmit the Dharma and reactivate our vows for the benefit of all being with all being. So to repay the kindness of the Buddha is to repay the kindness of all beings throughout time, space, place, this whole mandala of support, which is life itself. And in particular, to repay the kindness of those directly in our own lives, just through applying ourselves diligently through practice. So all this is included as we bathe the statue of the Buddha. Now Dogen would say, he says, the painted rice cake, and I would say, are the statue of the Buddha, have the same power as the thing itself. So we are not representing here. We are not doing something that represents something that happened in the past. We are actually engaged in that activity right now. So don't think of this as being symbolic. You are the dragon that bathes the Buddha. You are the baby Buddha. You are all Buddhas, and at the same time, you are just you, born crying into this world. wise and responding, caught and free simultaneously. All of these contradictions become the rain of the Dharma falling from this one cloud, flourishing and nourishing each other. Thank you. Thank you very much.